Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
Come on in, y'all. The door's wide open. We're here to get you fired up, get you going, get you educated, get you smart. Anything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin. That's why Rosie on the House is here for you.
And this is our Arizona Hour.
It is.
We cover all things Arizona.
And I think you should enter this Henry Wickenburg lookalike contest. You need to grow that beard out a little bit and tint it gray. But they've got a Henry Wickenburg lookalike contest coming up the weekend of November 23rd when we'll be celebrating Henry Wickenburg's 200th birthday.
And you'll be there for the live broadcast.
Yes, we will. It's going to be fun.
I'm still working out details. That is the weekend of one of our rodeos, but it's actually at Morristown, which is only about 12 miles away. So trying to figure out how to balance those.
Well, it's a weekend packed with activities. There'll be old-fashioned kid games, Native American dancers, food trucks, beer garden, antique car show, a Western dance festival. So it's the weekend of November 23rd in Wickenburg.
And they've got a bridge there. It's an old bridge that they abandoned when they made the new bypass route with the turnarounds. Well, they've kept the bridge there, and the bridge has kind of become the focal point for a lot of events. Homecoming was on the bridge. Mm. They've got barbecue on the bridge. They do music on the bridge, and they've made a really nice community center with a little lawn area right next to it, over the Hacienda. So occasionally, you're there when the river's actually running, depending on rains.
Really depending.
So that's November 23rd. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, you could go run with the burros.
Okay.
Do I
get to ride on the burro?
See, that's what I don't understand. No.
You run with them.
You run 6 miles next to a burro. This is a 70-year-old tradition that makes its way to Superior, Arizona this weekend. SuperiorArizonaChamber.org. And you could go get a burro on a leash and run 6.5 miles next to it. Hmm. So I'd
rather do that in Coolidge. Superior has too many hills.
Do they bring in ringers from Oatman?
Which way you go.
Right.
So I think if it revolves racing, you're more likely to find me at Turf Paradise. It opens up this weekend.
Does it really?
I don't gamble on horse bets, but if I'm going to go to a pick between running 6 miles with a burro or watching a horse race with a rider on it, probably going to go over to Turf Paradise.
Okay, all right.
Well, in our research this week, I think we finally found where the whole global warming concept originally started.
It
was in 1928 when icebergs were floating the Santa Cruz River, and that's what birthed the ice caps and the polar ice cap was melting. But what really happened was the wagon driver hauling a load of ice to make his delivery forgot to close his tailgate, and when it went through the river, all his ice load fell into the river.
Boom.
Southern Arizona is our featured Arizona staycation, as our winner's going to Patagonia. He's actually there this week, so we'll get an update from him. But this hour, we've got two great guests we're going to get right to. We've got Mohammed Mahmoud with CAP, along with Marcus Shapiro. We're covering Water Month all month long in October. And how can you cover water in Arizona and not cover Central Arizona Project Canal? Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And we're going to start with Mohammed. Now, we had this conversation in the office earlier this week, but since you're here live, we're just going to pretend like it never happened. We're starting fresh. I don't know anything about the Colorado River. Break it down from the upper basin, lower basin, and everything that happens to that water before we start sucking it out at Lake Havasu at the Parker Dam.
Sure, absolutely. So the Colorado River Basin provides water to 7 major basin states we refer to in the West. In the upper basin, those states are Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico. And then the lower basin includes us in Arizona, California, and Nevada. And I'll just add as well, it's a international river because at the end of the system, towards our border with Mexico also receives an allocation as well.
And each state allocation is different, and the way the water is extracted is a little different?
That's correct. Each state has different allocation volumes. In the lower basin, they're hard numbers. So, for example, Arizona has 2.8 million acre feet. Upper basin states, it's percentage based, and part of that is because that's where the water is generated. So it allows for some flexibility if the amount of water that's generated from snowmelt isn't as much as the allocation would be compared to the lower basin.
Now, you know, you got your first snow this last week.
Yes.
I mean, they were talking 3 feet in some places in Montana.
Well, funny you should say that. I was actually in Montana 2 weeks ago for work outside the Colorado River Basin. It's another work engagement. But the 2 days I was there was the only days it was snowing.
So. Wow. I guess that was quite a storm. Now, your responsibility is the water in the river.
Correct. I'm more on the river and water policy side of things.
And then when it gets to Lake Mead, we've got Marcus Shapiro here, and his responsibility is the water in the ditch.
Yes. Yes.
And right?
You got it.
So you rely on him to get you everything you need to keep your ditch full.
Yeah. If we don't have any supply, we're not pumping anything.
And how big is the watershed for the Colorado River?
I mean, I'm blanking out on the actual square area, but seven of those states I mentioned, they're pretty sizable. And obviously not the entirety of those states are in the basin, but to put it into context, Arizona as a whole state is within the basin for the most part.
And I was seeing numbers close to like 3,000 square miles of watershed. And one stat I read, it was equal to about the watershed of the Columbian River. The difference is 10 times more water flows through the Columbian River than does the Colorado.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's probably most of that Montana snow is where that will end up.
Well, actually, so Montana's outside the watershed. The snow is generated in western Colorado, essentially, so east of the west of the Rockies, sorry. The southern part of Wyoming on the eastern part of the state, as well as western Utah.
And I meant Montana snow will end up in the Columbian.
Oh,
not,
sorry,
not the
got
Colorado.
It, got it.
So all that snow is just outside of our watershed for the river. And coming down through, looking at all of it, there's two metropolitans that are outside of the watershed that get the water. I thought, I wonder how they snuck into our watershed on that negotiation.
So, Mohammed, what does your day-to-day look like? What do you do? Like, if I was you, I'd be fishing every single day, checking water.
Product research.
Yeah, checking water levels and phoning into the office.
I wish I had the time to be able to do that. But
what does your day-to-day look like?
You know, to be honest, Rosie, it changes from day to day. I mean, a lot of it, as you'd imagine, I'm behind the desk crunching numbers, running models, doing analysis. A lot of it is also traveling to meetings with other representatives from other basin states to talk about water negotiations, water policy issues. Other times I'm out on the road presenting on behalf of CAP, you know, educating the public and discussing what's the newest topics of the day related to our water supply. So day to day, it's very variable, but in a good way.
And your obligation is to give Marcus how much water?
As much as we can pump, that keeps the state within its allocation.
Now, folks, I know it's early, and you may have only had one cup of coffee so far. Marcus, talk about what CAP uses to get the water out of the Colorado River. This will blow your mind.
So CAP is the single largest user of electricity or power in the state of Arizona. And so when you divert the water at Lake Havasu, we have 66,000 horsepower pumps that lift water just over 800 feet. The first lift is the biggest lift, and then after that, it gravity flows down to the next pump station, and we keep lifting the water and letting it flow all the way down through Phoenix and finally into Tucson.
And the state's allocation at 2.8, the CAP doesn't take all that.
Correct. So CAP is interesting in the fact that our right to divert water, our allocation, is actually unquantified. And so we're able to divert everything that isn't used on river or by a higher priority user. So it's 2.8 less what's not diverted is what's available to us to divert. It's kind of a moving target, which keeps it a little exciting.
But they were smart enough to engineer it that it could take the whole 2.8 in a year, should you need to, but you're only taking about 1.5.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to quite take 2.8 okay. in a year. The capacity of our canal would actually limit that. We generally take 1.5. It might be closer to 1.8, 2 million that we could actually physically divert in a given year.
800 feet lift elevation, goes through the Buckskin Mountain, tunneled 8 miles through the mountains,
yeah.
comes out. Let's just, you know, that's mile marker one at the Mark Wolmer pumping station. Take us to the next, next marker.
It weighs 8 pounds a gallon.
8.34, I learned.
How big is the pipe that six 66,000 horsepower machines fill?
So the there are two pipes, two discharge lines there. They're each 12 foot in diameter. And that takes it up the side of the hill there, up the side of the mountain. And then, like Romeo was saying, it goes into the Buckskin Mountain Tunnel, just about 7 miles. After that, it opens up into open canal. And the canal is generally sized to take 3,000 feet per second. So right there, when it opens up, it's a 24-foot bottom width and then 1.5 to 1 side slopes. And we're generally running somewhere between 15 to 17 feet deep. That first section of canal before the next pumping plant actually opens up and has an 80-foot bottom width. And that's so that we have a little bit inline storage.
Okay.
And that allows us to control how we run the pump plant at Mark Wolmer. You know, at Mark Wolmer is where 60% of the power is used. And so that inline storage gives us some ability to do daily shaping for our energy needs.
So you're saying you're a super cooler as well.
could be.